Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Isn't it just good to sing the words of Scripture this morning as we worship God and think about the what will take place in the not so distant future when all around the throne of God are people that are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord all God Almighty," singing, "You are worthy, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and the one who sits on the throne." That's worth it right there. Amen. Amen. Good to see you today. Glad that you're here worshiping with us. What a great day it is to come into the house of the Lord and to worship Him who is worthy. And I'm so glad that you are here today. If you would please, you have seen these around the church campus area place. It's definitely not. Okay, just moving on. Use one of these, scan it to let us know that you're here. That would be greatly appreciated. You can do it up on the screen, or if I slow down enough, you can maybe catch it. I don't know. We'll see. Just thank you so much for being here. Also, just a reminder for you that on our website, we have a thing that is not only the connection card, we also have contact info that is available for you to fill out. So if you go out to our website and you find the icon that is a tree, that gives you an opportunity to update your personal information for the church. And that would be greatly appreciated, that if something has changed over the course of the last couple of years, maybe a new email or a cell phone, or maybe you've never filled one out before and you just don't know if you have that contact information given to the church, that would be a great way for you to do that. So check that out. Things that you need to know about, there's going to be some slides that are scrolling. Check those things out. We have all the socials. We use those things. And so check those out. Follow them. Facebook is a primary one that we use often. Instagram is another one that we use as well. So these are just ways that we communicate different things that are going on here at the church. Something you need to know about that is happening this week that is a big deal is that we are going to be having a part of our garden distribution happening on Wednesday. So there's been some harvesting that is going on, and we're going to be giving out some of the vegetables this week on Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And if you are interested in helping out, show up here at 5. Find Amanda Rosales, and you will know what you need to do to get the garden stuff handed out and moving to people in the community. That's one of the reasons why we're doing it. So a great way for you to serve and to volunteer in that way. Other things that you need to know is that we are quickly approaching our fall kickoff for our ministries, our youth ministry, kids ministries, Hope Kids, Next Gen stuff. And so all that information is being compiled and is being given out to you starting today. So if you want to, if you have kids that are in Hope Kids or in youth ministry, you can get the sign-up forms and schedules right around the corner as you're leaving the sanctuary today, and you can get all the information of what's happening and what's going to be taking place this school year. Also, if your kids are involved at all, we would love for you to fill out the registration forms so that the leaders know that information and can be aware of that. Also, something that you need to know that is on the schedule that is coming very quickly is that on August 30th is going to be the fall kickoff for our youth ministry, and so we want all the parents and all the families to be a part of that. So mark your calendar. It's on the schedule for you so that you can have it today, and lots of stuff is going on. We're gearing up for this fall season, and I don't know if you're excited about it, but I am, and I just... The hustle and bustle of our fall is fantastic. It's been lonely this summer when nobody's around. So let's get busy and let's start getting into the flow of the fall. Along with that, we are going to be starting In September, on September 10th, we're going to be starting a new sermon series that is also going to be serving as our life group curriculum for the first 6 or 7 weeks. And it's going to be on a study that is called One at a Time. And I really believe that this is going to be a great opportunity for every adult to be involved in some sort of a life group. And we would just love it if you would join in and be a part of it. We're going to get the information of the life groups out in the very near future, but we want to give you a taste of what is going to be happening in this study. It's a book that was written by Kyle Eidelman, and the approach is that we're going to be looking at how Jesus interacted with people. And one of the ways that he did that was individually, one at a time. Yeah, he was surrounded by people all the time, but it wasn't always the crowd that he interacted with everybody. Sometimes it was one person in the midst of that crowd. So I've got a trailer that I want to show you so that it will whet your appetite for the coming weeks. Let's watch this.
One thing we probably have in common is that we all want to make a difference with our lives. A word that you hear a lot these days, especially with the rise of social media, is the word influencer. And I think all of us on some level want to live that kind of life. And the question is, how do we do that? I'm standing on the roof of the church where I'm the pastor. This is kind of a special place for me. More than 20 years ago, when I was an intern at this church, I remember climbing up here early in the morning and just looking over the city and praying that God would use me in some way to make a difference that I had no idea how. And the truth is, we're drowning in content that tries to tell us how. Over the years, I've read books and attended conferences and listened to podcasts, and I've tried to learn the best practices of those we might call influencers, and it's been helpful, but the longer I follow Jesus, the more I realize that Jesus' way of changing the world is different. I mean, he never went to college. He was never voted into office. He never had a position that would have looked good on a resume. He didn't have thousands of friends on Facebook or Instagram. He wasn't TikTok famous. He didn't have a YouTube channel. Pretty sure he never even started a podcast. So how did he do it? And as I read through the Gospels with this in mind, it just seemed clear to me Jesus changed the world one at a time. One conversation at a time, one interruption at a time, one meal at a time, one need at a time, but always one person at a time. And understanding that really changed my life. Like, it changed my definition of influence. It changed my measurement of success. It changed the legacy I want to leave. It became the reason I get out of bed in the morning. And so my prayer is that together, as we study the life of Jesus, we will learn that each of us today will have an opportunity to live a one at a time life. It is the Jesus way of changing the world.
What we're going to do is that during this study, we're going to make the books for this study available, and then every week I will be preaching on what is coming up according to the reading plan. And books are going to be available for free if you need them. If you would like to give a donation, $10 would be recommended. But if you can't afford $10, $5. If you can't afford anything, the book is available for you. So we have them available. They will be here in the next, by August 27th, for sure, that we will be giving them out and letting you start the reading plan. There, each week, there's going to be a chapter or two that will need to be read for the life group, and so that conversation can happen in those life groups. And I really believe, after reading the book and spending some time with others that have processed and have done this exact same study, that it is eye-opening for us to be thinking about the impact that Jesus had on our lives and how, when we interact with one person intentionally, how God can work through us for his glory one at a time. And so I believe that it's going to be a really good study for us. Kyle Eidelman writes really well, and I think that you'll be intrigued by it. I think that it'll also draw us closer to the impact that Jesus had in humanity and on our lives as well. So I'm looking forward to it. If you have any questions along the way, let me know. But one thing that I want you to be thinking about is how can you be praying about how you will be involved this fall? Will you get into a group? Will you volunteer? Will you serve in different ways? Because as we start this fall, we need everybody on board in order to be have the maximum impact that we can, because God is up to something, and I believe it, and I hope that you are as well. So with that in mind, let's take some time and let's pray this morning, and then we'll jump into our sermon series titled Tell Your Story. Let's pray. Father, we breathe a little deeply today, at least I do. Because God, when I think about all the things that we have going on around us, all the different facets of our lives that we have that are hustling and bustling, and the busyness that we experience, to come into your house, come into your sanctuary, the focus of the morning, the focus of the day, the focus of our lives is to worship you. And sometimes we just need to breathe a little deeply, to catch our own breath, but to also breathe in the goodness of who you are. That you are a life changer. You transform us to be who we once were not. To be forgiven, to be alive in Christ, to be people that are a part of your kingdom. And I pray, Father, that we would just breathe in your grace and your mercy and let it change us today. As your word transforms us, as your mercy spoken to us and made real to us changes us from ones who were sinful to being forgiven, God, we just know that you want to do a transformation in our lives. And we pray, Father, that you would do that. Do it in each of us today. Thank you for a time of worship when we can not only just sing, but when we can pray and seek your face today, and we can acknowledge that you truly are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain for us. And that changes everything. And we look forward to the days when we can sing around the throne, worthy, 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 holy, holy, holy is the one who sits on the throne, who opens the seals. And God, we're just so grateful for your work in our lives. Lord, this morning, may our hearts be pure before you. If there are things that are going on in our lives that we know that are a detractor from worshiping you, Lord, will you help us to seek your face and ask forgiveness? Will you also just speak to us today through our time of worship and our message today? But more importantly, Lord, will you be the voice of truth this week? That every morning when we wake up, that our hearts would be overwhelmed with the desire to just seek you with our very first thoughts, our very first steps, our very first moments of the day. Before we do anything else, may we seek you in all that we do. Because your kingdom is worthy and your purposes for us don't stop. So help us with that, God. Lord, we pray for this week, knowing that there are many things that are coming up in our lives, from just the busyness of finishing up the summer to looking forward to what is happening in our community and school getting back in session and all of that. Lord, will you just be with us? Those that have appointments and decisions to make and surgeries, God, will you just Be in the process of each of those. Bring healing where it's necessary. Bring hope where we feel devastated. And will you also just be the one that we can trust in this week? You are forever faithful in our lives, and we thank you for it. God, as we give you thanks, may you just overwhelm us with your presence today. And we pray these things in your Son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. When was the last time a story made you cry? When was the last time a story made you spit out your water because you were laughing too hard? When was the last time that you felt the emotion of encouragement from a story? Yep, we're in week number 3 of our sermon series titled Tell Me Your Story. And what we're connecting with is the idea that there are stories that we just love, stories that we are encouraged by, stories that we feel overwhelming emotions for, and there are stories that just are encouraging because we as people like a good story. We like to read good stories, whether it be your favorite kid's story, Dr. Seuss, it could be anything of the like. We like a good story. Kids absolutely love a good story, and I don't think we as adults lose that as well. What is true is that our stories have changed over the course of many years. We went from the spoken word in an oral tradition to a written word, and now we moved on to television, TV, and small little screens that we have to hold really close to be able to watch those stories. I've asked it before, and I'm going to ask it again. What is your favorite story? Today, what's your favorite Bible story? Because there are stories in here that are worth reading. There are stories in here that are worth dusting off our Bibles and taking a look at them and knowing what it is that God is doing in history. Isn't it interesting that if we separate the H-I from story, it's still story. But if we, okay, I could stop. There's other things. Anyways, who doesn't love a good story? There are some stories that are better than others, and we can argue on what the best story is out there. There are some folks that love a story that has talking trees and creatures in it that are just bizarre and annoying to some. Lord of the Rings. I really like those stories. Others, their stories are like the love stories and your own thoughts of Hallmark descriptions. You like those stories. Maybe those are more your cup of tea where the business person is too busy to see the, I don't even know. I'm going to stop there because I don't watch a lot of those all the time. But you might have a specific story that you like more than anything else. Last week, we had a great opportunity to hear from Lee and Carrie Thompson, and I would just encourage you that if you didn't catch their story last week, their story is made available on our Facebook page or even on our YouTube channel, and you can catch the interview about God's faithfulness in their lives in very unique circumstances and their perseverance. That's what we were really talking about. And today, we are going to hear a story of how God has spoken to someone words of maybe you need to stick to something. So let's welcome our interviewee today, none other than Caleb Brown. Welcome, Caleb, to the platform today. There you go. Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me so much.
I know. It's kind of, oh, do I need to get stuff?
Are we sitting or what are we doing?
I'm going to sit. Are you going to sit?
I will sit with you.
Okay.
Do you? What? No, your table's great. I'm not going to mess it up like my mother did a couple weeks ago.
That was just a slight little dig right there.
I know. She showed me the video this morning. It was pretty funny.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Caleb, those of you that don't know, this is my son, Caleb, and I'm glad that that he is here with us today. You have had a very busy summer where we saw you for like 2 weeks in May, and then all of a sudden you were off. And then we saw you two other times, and now you're back. Welcome back, and now you're going to be leaving to college again in like 3 days.
Thursday.
Yeah, thank you. That that breaks mom and dad's heart just a little bit, but we're going to be all right. So those of you that you might not have known this, but I've been planning the sermon series for months, and Caleb and I actually did an interview in May before he left, and it was on video. And when everything kind of started filling in the schedule, and we found out that Caleb was going to be here, I was like, let's get rid of the video. Let's actually talk to him in person today, because I think that'd be a lot more fun. Are you okay with that? Because you're here already.
I don't really have a choice, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be weird watching yourself on screen.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm talking instead.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So let's just jump into this. As we are thinking about everything that has happened, we want to look back at your last year. Okay, it was about this time a year ago that you were preparing to go to college, and you were getting geared up for it in a way, but it was also kind of not really sure if you want to go and all that stuff. It was a bit wild. It was good. We had some hard conversations along the way. You were planning to go to Oklahoma Wesleyan, which that's where you ended up going. Played a little soccer. Tell us a little bit about what that first semester was like for you. Give us a rundown. Give us some highs, some lows, that type of stuff.
Yeah. So as you said, I went to Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and that's where I'm still going as of for this next school year. And I left early to go because I was on the college soccer team, and I was excited, but I wasn't at the same time. I had some things that were holding me back here in Iowa, and I was going through the struggles of knowing which way should I go, which way should I stay, should I stay here, should I go to college, what should I do, and I had already committed to going to the college, but yet I was still backing out. If you don't know me that well, I am really bad at making big decisions. Like, I'm really bad at choosing what restaurant to go to a lot of the time. And so with choosing what college to go to was really hard for me at the same time.
Yeah, interrupt you for a second? You should see our household when we're trying to decide where Caleb wants to go to eat for his birthday. That's like a 5-day ordeal to get him going. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, but I finally decided to go to Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and it was really hard. Like I said, I had some things that were holding me back at home, and I decided, all right, let's just go and let's just see how the first semester went. I kind of went in thinking I'm probably gonna come back. I'm probably not gonna enjoy this. I'm probably just gonna live a life there for a semester, for a couple months, then just come back. And that's kind of what I did. I kind of just had my mind set, even though my parents told me, don't have your mind set. Don't do that. Don't think you're going to come back. But I still did anyways. And, lots highs was that I had made some good friends at the beginning of the school year. And then the lows were just a ton of just trying to figure out what's the next step. Like, what am I doing? Like, if I come back, what am I going to do then? And I had a lot of people back here at the Straits and back, just here at home, that was just telling me, like, hey, like, we're not going to tell you what you should do, but, like, I don't think you're possibly making the right decision in coming back. And some of you guys are in this church, and some of you guys were telling me, like, hey, we think that you should probably still be going. Don't let what's holding you back here hold you back. Go and just live your life. And at the beginning, I didn't really listen to them because I'm like, I'm 19. I can make my own decisions. I'm growing up. And
I can conquer the world.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I'm all big. And I'm not. I can't. But you can't do it on your own. But yeah, and so then trying to figure it out, and it was not an easy first semester, especially with just constantly just trying just to do what you wanted to do and not really dig into the school as much.
Okay. And soccer wasn't going extremely well. It was tough. You had broken your leg in April, and you were still healing from that, and that was hard. And soccer itself just didn't go the way that you wanted it to.
Yeah, well, we figured out that my leg didn't even heal back straight, so that made it even worse. And the option was pretty much re-break it and have surgery or just deal with the pain. So I ended up dropping soccer after a little while, but yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. That's all right. So talk to us a little bit about, I mean, you're going to Oklahoma Wesleyan. It's a university that's connected to our denomination, and it's a Christian university. How was your spiritual life leading up to and including those first few months at college?
Yeah, so it was really poor. It was not good at all. I was not really... We had, at this college, for those of you who don't know, like, you have to go to, like, chapels every week. You have to go to two chapels, and you have to, like, go to some sort of Bible study to be able to pass, like, the chapel credits to get, and it's part of, like, one of your classes that you have to have, and you have to have a certain amount of credits by the end of the semester. I kind of just went to everything, not really giving it any heart. I went to church on Sundays. I went there because I knew some old friends that went to that church, and I went there just to go hang out with them and just to be with them. And other than that, I was just kind of like half-hearted, not really in it very well, and I just didn't really care that much because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to come back home. I'll figure it out then. And looking back at it now, it's really sad that I did that because I kind of wasted a couple months, and that was really hard just looking back at that. But
sure.
But yeah.
Okay. And you now have the experience of what you do spiritually does matter, and so that's a good thing to walk away from. It's about November now, okay? In my timeline, all right. You had that break at Thanksgiving. We traveled as a family and went up north. And it was a good break from college, but it was also a difficult break. As you were transitioning from Thanksgiving break to going back to college, what was God speaking to you at that point in time?
I was starting to feel a little bit of like there's something more that you're not seeing in the big picture. There's something else that's going on that you don't really understand that's going to happen. And I kind of kept getting this feeling of like, hey, maybe you should stay. And at this time, during the November season, I can't remember if it was before I left, before Thanksgiving break or afterwards, but I'm slowly starting to get the release paper signed that I'm going to be leaving the college and not coming back. And for a while, I had the papers in my dorm just sitting on my desk, and I didn't sign them for the longest time, just debating. I'm like, what do I do? And I'd stare at them for a while, and I'd just be like, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure what's the right idea. And I finally came to it, and I finally signed them, and I turned it in. And granted, this school is very small, so everyone knows everyone. There's only about like 600 people on campus. It's really small college, which I love, but it's everyone knows everyone. And so I turned in the papers to someone, and they're like, hey, we're really going to miss you. Like, it's not just, like, we don't just say that, we mean that. And, like, he was telling me, by the time I was getting to know you, like, I'm just going to miss you and just your heart for just who you are. And I had lots of people tell me that because at this college, they do it where they send out all the people that are leaving, and they're like, if you know this person, they send that all out to the staff people and everything. And they're like, if you know this person, pray for this person as they're making this transition for whatever reason they're leaving the college, whether they have to transfer to another school for different credits or they're just choosing to leave for a different reason. And I have lots of my professors come to me and just be like, hey, we don't know what's going on in your life, but we're praying for you. And that just really hit me hard, where it was just like, wow, these people care. And I think the ratio is like 9 students to 1 professor at this school, where it's they like professors can really just dig into you and just really love on you and just care for you so much. Whereas like as at state schools, it's like 2,000 to 1. it's probably more than that, but it's crazy.
You think? Okay.
It's wild.
I don't know if it's quite that much, but
exaggeration.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But 9 to 1 is not seen at a state school.
That's better than most of our high schools, probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you're having all this going on, and the end of the semester comes, and you had finally filled out the papers, you're ready to come home, ready to start a new chapter, but the break hadn't happened yet. The school year was still going on. Catch us up with this time period, because this was the time period that really kind of began to change for you. There was some things that were going on in chapel, some things that were going on in class that really just were those monumental moments. So tell us a little bit about those things.
Yeah. So during chapels, they asked for all the students that were either leaving for whatever reason to stand up, and they were going to pray for every single student that left. And
the graduates, too.
Yeah, and the graduates, yep, yeah. And those two. And because some people graduate after first semester, and they were praying over me, and I just realized how loved I was at this college and how many people came to me just praying for me. I had a lot of soccer guys. I had a lot of just friends. I even had staff came to me and just were, like, putting a shoulder on me, just putting a hand on me, just like I would do here with, like, when missionaries leave or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They pray over you. And that happened to me, and I was just like, I am so loved here, where I'm not going to find this kind of love back at home. And it
well,
was...
Well, hold on.
Okay. Like, I'm not going to find, like, college love.
Okay.
Find, like,
all right. So I was going to say...
college student love.
Mom and Dad and Lucas and other people.
I mean,
they all.
Okay, but you know what I mean.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I do.
Wow, thanks. But then, in some classes, again, like I had like staff or like teachers just coming to pray for me and just coming to be here, and they were just really just hitting on my life and just being like, hey, we're gonna love you and still miss you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really hard. And then can I just keep going?
Keep going.
So then finals come. I passed all my finals, which was awesome. First year of school finals, really got nervous about that. College finals, I passed, so that was
attaboy.
That was awesome. Thank you. And then which was amazing. And then I had packed up my car. I packed up everything to come home. And I had done some goodbyes to people and just saying goodbye and just having this hard moment of, like, I don't know if I'm making the right decision or not, but I'm still going with what I decided. And
To leave and not come back.
Yeah. And I had my car packed, and I had left, and I had... I was just about to exit out of the campus and onto the main road that was going by, and I had said, "See you, Oakwood. Don't know when I'm going to see you again." And at the moment I said that, like, my heart pretty much stopped. I'm driving. And, like, I hear this voice, this loud but calming voice in my head that's like, you're coming back. No matter what's going to happen, you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving, and I'm like, whoa, like, this is hard. And I'm like, well, I have to go home either way. Because, like, I can't stay at the college because it's Christmas break. I'm going home. So I called you the whole time. The 8-hour drive.
Yeah.
I called you the whole time.
We talked a lot that day.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, this is what happened. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to go back. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get you back. And so I'm like, all right, let's do this. And like trying to figure out like the ties that I had back here at home. Like, what am I going to do about that? Like, what do we do? And we had lots of conversations about it, trying to figure it out. And it was a long car ride home of just having some reality talk of like what needs to happen next. And then it made an even longer drive because I got stuck in a snowstorm and made an 8-hour drive to an 11-hour drive, which was amazing. But yeah.
Yeah, you learned some parts of Iowa that you didn't know about. Yeah.
Yeah, small towns. Right. Lots of small towns.
Right, right. And so, in the midst of all this, you have a lot going on, and we could say that that voice that you heard was definitely God, right?
100%. 100%. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. And so you come home. First thing that you say to your mom when you walk in the door, was, "Hi, I got to go back." Is that about right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I gave her a hug, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm going back to college." She goes, "Okay then." Like, okay. Nice to see you too, though.
Right, right. So the semester finishes. You do all that. Christmas break happens. You make the phone calls. How do I get back? And all of this stuff. What was different about the second semester?
First off, my roommate had actually left too, unexpectedly. I didn't know he was leaving. And so I actually had a room to all to myself, which was really nice. That was a huge difference.
Okay.
To really just spread out everything and have two desks, two dressers. It was really nice. And then as well, I had... at first, it was really hard trying to just get back into it. I came back to the college realizing, like, I didn't have that many friends. Like, I didn't. I came back to the college not knowing why God called me back. And I went to classes. I'm realizing, like, I'm not that interactive with people. I really was not that social with people. And I'm like, all right, I got to make a change. I got to start going to events. I had planned some meetings with... with the activities director, I'm like, hey, how can I get involved? How can I help out? What can I do just to be involved in it? And he got me involved and engaged, and that helped me in that time of just being able just to hang out with people and just to get to know other godly people that weren't staff. They were actually students here. And so then as time went on, I actually got myself into like a 10-person friend group of just like godly people where we had Bible studies like twice a week, and they weren't onto the actual chapel credits. They were on our own time. They didn't count towards anything. They were just us just doing it on our own, and it was a blast. And we still hope that we're still planning on doing that again as we come back to college in this next week. That we're hoping to keep it up and keep it going again. And that was a huge difference. And then as well as just like I was actually engaged people. I hung out with people in the more popular areas, and
yeah, awesome. Now, how was God faithful? Because if we look at this picture, you had a major moment where God was speaking to you, and he invited you back. Basically, how was God faithful in those following months after December into January, February, March? And all that. How was God faithful in those moments?
Yeah, he showed me, like, I didn't know what the college life was like. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it because I practically wasted the first semester. And there was one night where I was like trying to get myself involved with people and it just wasn't going well. So I went back to my dorm and I laid in bed and I'm like, what? Like, why, God? Why did you call me back? Why am I back here if the first 2 weeks aren't even going well? And I had a hard time moment with him, and I'm like, and I kind of had like a punch in the gut moment of like, God called you back for a reason. Don't question him. Just understand it and have faith that it's going to be okay. And that's kind of been like a lot of like what's been going on with just in my life, just with this last semester and this whole summer. of just a lot of different thoughts that I've had in my head of like, all right, what's the next step in my life, even though I'm not sure where it's going. I've had a lot of just like different types of questions of what's going on. And I looked in, I did a lot of reading this summer in the Bible. And if you go into Daniel, and in like chapter 2, chapter 3, there's a lot of different, like it's Nebuchadnezzar, and he's having all these dreams, and he's asking people, hey, can you interpret this for me without me telling you what the dream is? And all these sorcerers and enchanters are like, we don't know, why don't you just tell us and we'll describe what it means to you, like, in a different way. And he's like, no, it's not going to happen. And Daniel's ending up like, hey, he basically says, I don't know what your dream is, but I know God knows what it is, but I have faith that God will tell me what it is, and he's going to go through me and tell me what it is so I can explain it to you without you having to explain the dream to me. And so there's a lot of faith that comes into that, and I read that this summer, and I'm like, okay, if he's going to put his head on the line in front of Nebuchadnezzar and be like, hey, I can tell you the dream without you telling me what the dream is, I can tell you what it means, then I'm like, okay, I can put my faith in God and understand what's his next step for me without me having to know it, and I'm just going to follow when he tells me.
Mm-hmm. That's really good, isn't it? Really good. So one of the things that you did in your break was that you decided that you wanted to go serve at a camp. You were like, I want to go to Maine, and mom and dad, see you later. I'm going to go to Maine, and I'm going to serve at a camp. And your mom and I were like, there's a camp up the road called Cedar Springs. I didn't do this on purpose today, okay? Oh, yeah. I didn't do it on purpose. Sure. Cedar Springs Camp, you could go serve there. And you were like, no, I want to go serve somewhere else. And so we were accepting of that, and you decided to go to a camp in Wisconsin. How was God faithful with the many different things that you did this summer? Give us one instance where God was so faithful in your time this summer at camp.
Yeah, so just to give you an insider, I went to the camp and I was a counselor for 5 weeks, 5 weeks straight. That's really rough on the body. It was awesome, but it was so much fun. It was a blast. And then I also went and I just came on the staff, and then I became the archery instructor at this camp. So I was able to engage with people, and I taught kids how to shoot a bow, and as well just hang out with parents during all the family camps. But to answer your question, we had these before we did all the counseling. We had 2 weeks of training just for every case scenario of when you're counseling, because we go from the age of like third graders all the way up to seniors, and we go for 2 weeks just going through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds a lot of nerves for people. It's like, all right, you're dealing with a lot for 5 weeks, and then they threw the number at us as like 40. You're probably gonna have 40 kids in 5 weeks. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. In 5 weeks, that's a lot of kids. And so trying to wrap my head around that. And we did lots of praying, lots of just trying to have an understanding of like, we can't do this on our own. We're not going to know how every week's going to go. Every week's going to be different. With every kid is different. You're going to have kids that have maybe be on the spectrum, maybe kids that have ADHD, maybe kids that are just super energetic, maybe kids that are super quiet and they don't want to talk and they're just here because their parents make them. And you're having to go through all this. And a lot of us are all very, very, a lot of us counselors are all very outgoing people. We just are okay with talking a lot. And we had to come to an understanding of just like, not every kid's like that. Not every kid's going to be the same. And we all had this heart-to-heart moment of like, in one of our meetings, we kind of sidetracked of like, it's not going to go the way you plan it. It never will. But you got to have faith, and you got to understand that God's going to do it, and it's going to all be in his perfect plan. And one of the biggest things that we kept saying as through these 5 weeks was, we're not speaking to these kids. God's speaking through us to these kids. He's orchestrating through us to make it work perfectly for these kids. And that was a big, big turn of events of, like, we're all like, oh, we've never thought of it like that. And so that was a huge faith of, like, we just have to take this leap of faith into understanding that God's just going to take care of it all. He's going to work through us in every situation we have just to live to these kids and just live to love, to just show what a biblical man or a biblical woman is to these kids. And so that was a huge thing of faith this summer that drived us.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, last question, and then we'll kind of wrap it up here. What do you know about God and his faithfulness today that you didn't know a year ago at this time?
It's real. That's the real answer. I mean, it's real. It's not just some little saying that people say. It's really real. It's there. For people that are here, that are listening, or probably just being like, maybe still telling the truth. But I can tell you that it's real. It's there. It's not just something that your parents tell you, your grandparents tell you. It's all real. It's nothing made up. It's just not what the church tells you. It's the real deal.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Caleb, for sharing with us. You get to stay here for just a little bit, okay? Yeah, I just want you to be by me. As Caleb was sharing his story, and something that we had talked about at one point in time is that not only was there that moment in Caleb's life where God spoke to him on his way out of Oklahoma, but one of the things that he had mentioned to me was the question of, what are you doing? And hearing that type of question from God reminds me of what happens in Elijah's life. Elijah in 1 Kings has been dealing with so much, and he's just won a huge battle coming out of the battle at Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal are trying to get everybody to worship Baal, and Elijah's like, nope, that's not the real deal. That's not the way that it goes. And long story short, Elijah prays to God, and God licks up the sacrifice and the altar and everything in an instant. And it's then when Elijah's life is on the move because he's being threatened by an evil queen. And he goes and he hides, and he goes into a cave, and he's taken care of by angels. And the Lord appears to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And his response was, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And if that story is familiar with you, this is the moment where the mountains were torn apart and shattered, and there was an earthquake, and there was wind, and there was fire, and all of a sudden came a small, gentle whisper. And that's when Elijah pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mountain, at the mouth of the cave. And the voice comes back from God and it says, what are you doing here? We've all experienced those tumultuous moments where we experience difficulty. We experience things that don't necessarily go our way. We experience stuff that we have a plan, but the plan isn't happening, and we're just struggling, and it's difficult, and we're overwhelmed. And sometimes the thing that we ask ourselves is, what are we doing here? What am I doing here? And sometimes God whispers to us and says, what are you doing here? My encouragement for you is this, is that our natural tendency would to be to retreat when we hear those words, when we hear those moments where we're struggling and it's difficulty and we want to hide, we want to go and do our own thing. But what God spoke to Elijah after all this was, go back the way you came. You see, God in Elijah's life and sometimes in our lives, we have to be willing to go back to where he has called us, to go back the way that we came, to stick to it, to don't give up. There's still more for you to do. Don't give in to the lies, and don't give in when you think you're all alone. You probably felt really alone your first semester. And there's times when we feel alone. Elijah felt extremely alone. But God told him, I've reserved many, many. Let's get the number right so I don't mess it up. Oh, I put it in my notes. Un momento, por favor. 7,000. God reserved 7,000 for him. You're not in this alone. You're not. God's faithfulness is there to help us when we're stuck. God's faithfulness is unparalleled, and he is faithful even in the darkest days, even when we think we're all alone. For years, you wore a bracelet that was given to us many years ago that said, if God leads you to it, he'll see you through it. It's a good statement. And it's almost cute. But we have to believe that that is God's faithfulness in action. He was faithful to Elijah, and he will continue to be faithful to you, to each of us. Your story matters a lot. Your story, no matter how old you are, no matter how experienced you are, no matter how many difficulties you may have or may not have had, your story matters. And all along in this sermon series, the encouragement has been is that your story needs to be told. Your story needs to be told. Yep, I mess up too, bud. Thank you. And in the midst of our story that needs to be told, there's the right person for you to share your story with. It might not be up here on stage. Someday it might. But let me encourage you to work on your story, to know it, so that the moment that you have an interaction with someone, you can share that story. Maybe it's just a portion of your story. Maybe it's where God spoke to you the most. Or maybe it's where you saw the thumbprint of God in the least likely way. But you need to be able to tell that story. That's what this sermon series is about. It's about you knowing your story, and it's about you being able to communicate it. So let's thank Caleb and invite the worship team up. Let's get ready to sing together. So next week, we will have another opportunity to hear how God has been faithful in decisions. And I certainly hope that you will be here next week to hear this story as well. Let's stand together and let's worship. And just thank you for being here today and worshiping along with us.